One of the most common questions I get as a priest from actually both believers and non-believers alike is this one. If God is good, why does he allow suffering? And if that question hasn't struck you or maybe even bothered you, then you're either ready for canonization or by God's grace, we haven't suffered enough. I think we've all asked it. But a harder question actually is, why did God allow Jesus to suffer? He's actually innocent. He's actually perfect and all good. There's kind of a scandal about the cross, and St. Paul probably said it the best. He said it's a stumbling block for Jews, and it's just foolishness for the Gentiles. Now, this drama is prefigured in the story of Abraham and Isaac, which I like very much. And the author of Genesis makes it so hard on Abraham, right? It's like, I remember when I was a kid, like every spring, my mom would make us like grab all of our old clothes, and we'd either have to like bring them to the thrift store or just like throw them out because they were so crappy. But I had this one sweatshirt that like my brother had. I wore it every day, right? It was like totally worn out. And so finally she's like, I think it's time we get rid of the sweatshirt. My mind's like, well, I've got a lot of sweatshirts. I knew what she meant. She's like, no, like the sweatshirt. I'm like, well, which one do you mean? Because I'm thinking in my mind, please, Lord, not the sweatshirt. Now imagine that's your child. God says, remember, Abraham has two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. He says, Abraham, and Abraham's ready to respond, right? He's like, here I am. I want you to sacrifice your son. He's like, well, I have two sons. No, no, your only son. He's in the back of his mind. He knows what God means. But he's like, please, Lord, no, oh, no. I have two sons. The one whom you love, Isaac. And he's just thinking, please, Lord, no. But when that suffering arrives to him, he trusts in the Father that much. And then you have this beautiful person, Isaac, right, who prefigures Christ. Right, Isaac has to carry the own wood of his sacrifice up a hill, which Jesus will do as well. But all the while, trusting in the Father, right? He looks at Abraham, Father, where's the sacrifice? He has this abandoning trust to his good Father. And then right at the moment in which Abraham is about to sacrifice him, the same call comes, Abraham, and Abraham responds once again, here I am, because he's a true disciple who trusts the Father. Because you did not withhold your own son, I will bless you abundantly. Because he was willing to give back to God what he knew wasn't even really his, God bestows his blessing on them. And so it draws this question, what do I withhold from God? It would have been a lot. Abraham would have happily died rather than his son, I think. Most parents would say that. What do I withhold from God? Because if I withhold something from God, I don't yet understand the cross, and I'm not in a position to receive his blessing. God, however, as Paul tells us in the second reading, he didn't spare his own son, right? He gave Isaac back to Abraham, but God himself did not spare his own son. And so that action, like it does when we experience suffering, should make us shake our fists at God. Why? What are you doing? And there's only one answer that the church has ever given to that question, why God allows suffering. And it's this, to save us. God wanted to save us. He wanted to bring us glory. And that's why that Abraham story is coupled with the transfiguration. Just verses before, Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to suffer greatly at the hands of wicked men. And that's not what they wanted to hear. And so just in this split second, he manifests his glory to say, like, but it's okay, because this cross, this suffering, this humiliation, this fill in that blank for you, given to the Father will lead to glory. That's what the transfiguration means for us, right? Because let's be clear, God didn't make suffering. We make suffering, right? Not just Adam and Eve, but like me. I've done my own contribution to the misery of the world. But God, as a response to our creation of hell, enters into sin and death to make it holy, to purify it, to make it fruitful. And so Hebrews says, for the sake of the joy which lay before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. That's why we have crucifixes everywhere, right? It's a strange thing. One of my students told me once, they said, why do you guys have this almost naked guy hanging on a stick? That's a good question. It's because that's our glorious King. That's what glory looks like. Jesus was full of joy and glory on the cross. That's why we get Lent. It's like, look at Jesus on the cross so that that glorious moment might come to you. Right? It's that we can be formed into that image. And so everyone at this Mass, bring to mind, bring to heart the cross, the suffering that you bear. There's this beautiful part in the Mass which we usually miss, because it's right after I wash my hands and then everybody stands up, so we kind of intersect with each other. But this is what I say. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. So take a moment, bring that to mind, that suffering, that cross, because if that thing is given in trust to the Father, he will save people through you. That's what Christians believe about suffering. My cross, united with God, will get people to heaven. That's what Christians believe.